Thanks, Elizabeth and Lance. Let's thank them one more time for sharing with us and for their impact. They really live sent in extraordinary ways. All of us have precious opportunity to live sent, and you two model that in incredible ways. So thank you so very, very much. I'm glad you're here to hear God's word this morning. We're in Mark chapter 1. We're in our Live Sent series. And we're going to see some stunning moments, this morning. You know, stunning moments amaze and motivate us, right? When you really have a stunning moment, what happens? You are amazed and then you're motivated. I recall several years back heading to a training conference in Nashville. We're going, a couple of us from on staff right here. This conference was simply called Story. Really good conferences, in my estimation, proved to be a good mix of stuff, right? You want it to be engaging, you want it to be equipping, and then, just honestly, you want it to be a little bit entertaining too, right? It needs to, like, have enough pizzazz that it grabs your attention and holds your attention, and so you hope there'll be really solid content that's memorable and helpful from speakers, plus then meaningful interaction with team members over coffee and meals. And when we've done conferences, our staff or a subset of staff before, when we've done that, many of the times the real highlights happen around coffee or around meals together as we're sharing what we're learning. This particular conference was downtown Nashville. Anybody else been to Nashville before? Been in Nashville? Who's been in Nashville? Quite a place, right? Really, really cool place. I had not been, never been to Nashville before this. And so for me, there was some excitement about being in such a unique, historic place. I mean, how can you not like the motherland of all things barbecue and country music, right? I mean, woo, yeah. And so I'm excited about that as we're going. And with a conference trip like this, you're hoping for an exceptional time of strengthening in my framework intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, with other staff members and new people you might meet. That all makes sense, right? You would expect that from a conference. We walked into the venue, and the overall vibe in the venue was indeed captivating and creative and compelling, and it had that vibe like oh boy, anticipation is in the air. There's going to be good stuff at this conference. And the conference indeed proved to be exceptional. But I wasn't really expecting the most stunning takeaway of all. Truly stunning and amazing. Still today, I'm moved, very moved inside by a set of moments I had. So amazing. I'll tell you about those moments in a few minutes. In God's word today, we're going to see Jesus in three stunning moments. Jesus in three stunning moments. And if we keep our eyes wide open, we'll be amazed in ways that send us out into the week stronger, motivated to live more faithful, more purposeful on mission with him. We say it often here at Manor Church, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. His life, love, and work flowing through our lives, love, and work. We believe the gospel of Jesus does that. It gets all over us and gets around us and in us and through us. And if you've been reading Mark's gospel, it took me up on the challenge last week, and you've been reading Mark's gospel, you've probably picked up on how often the people in the scenes are amazed. And I saw it again this morning. I was reading the last couple chapters, capping off my week, and I was like, wow, amazed, amazed, amazed. Eyes wide open today, get ready to be amazed by Jesus in the ordinary. And get ready to be amazed by Jesus in the extraordinary. So far in this series, we've engaged with Mark's gospel of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, verse 1. We unpack that in week 1. He was sent from the Father on his remarkable mission to save us. Yes, poor and needy sinners that we are. Mark's big aim is to help us see Jesus more clearly as Son of God so we love and follow him more dearly and more devotedly. Don't miss it. That's Mark's big aim, to help us see Jesus more clearly as Son of God so we love him more dearly and follow him with hearts that are drawing ever closer, nearly, nearly, near and near and near and near, dear and dear, devotedly. Sight, both literal and physical and spiritual and deeply emotional. Sight in all those ways plays a huge role in Mark's gospel. We're sent to see and follow Jesus and help others see and follow him. That's the echo in Mark's gospel, that we see and follow Jesus in greater ways and then help others see and follow Jesus in greater ways. Last week, we saw four essentials for living sent. We met John the Baptizer, who was preparing the way for Jesus, the coming king. John specifically said this in verses 7 and 8. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this sets us up for the first stunning moment, Jesus' stunning baptism. Jesus' stunning baptism. Catch verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. At that time, it's in these same days, this very season, when John is calling people to repentance and baptism. Jesus came from Nazareth. That's his original hometown where Mary and Joseph settled after returning from Egypt. Matthew 2, 22 and 23 details this. Nazareth was a relatively unimpressive, obscure village in Galilee, about halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean. Galilee was this big region known for the collection of villages all around the Sea of Galilee. It was the northernmost region of Palestine in that day. Vital note, Nazareth was despised and even avoided by many Jews. It had something of a seedy, rebellious reputation. Now, intriguing to note that Jesus spent his developmental and then early working years in this region. Now, think on this. Touching to realize how Jesus' hometown spoke to his humility and identification. Humility and identification with ordinary, everyday, mixed up, messed up, confused people. Whole Galilee region was a blend of village life and agriculture, but also large lakeside culture. So, boating, fishing. How many of you like a boat? Good boat ride in the summer. Boats? Boating? How many of you like fishing? How many of you think fishing stinks? Yeah, well, Galilee was all made up of this boating and fishing culture, plus agriculture out in the fields, plus business of wine presses and all of that. It's just this incredible blend culturally. Stunning, truly. Jesus comes in the midst of this very, very ordinary place. Extremely ordinary for ordinary people. Here's the whole mix of just very ordinary life. Just pause to ponder that. Seriously, just pause to ponder and be amazed, stunned even. Jesus' sentness did not land him in Rome or Jerusalem, big, flourishing, prospering capitals of the day. No, he's from Nazareth in Galilee, extremely ordinary place. Based on Luke 3, verse 23, Jesus was about 30 years old. He made the trek from Galilee toward the southern region of Judea. What happens when Jesus comes? Mark says Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. The river running north to south along the eastern edge of Israel. The Jordan runs between the Sea of Galilee up north and the Dead Sea down in the south. Baptized. Jesus. Baptized. Now here's what we explored last week. It's this beautiful ceremony. Baptism is this beautiful ceremony where a person is immersed in water, signifying that you belong in God's family. In our tradition as brethren in Christ churches, we baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, reminding us that we're baptized to belong. We're baptized into the family, God's family. You've heard God's loving call. It signifies that His truth has called you and you're stepping out to follow. You respond to go His way. That's repentance. You turn from your old way of life toward a new way of life. That's repentance. And you're now headed, sent in a new direction. You've closed the door on your past. Sins are forgiven. You're now cleansed. And you're living sent. Committed to follow God's purposes and plans and mission. And baptism outwardly signifies what's happened and is happening inside a person's heart, heading God's way. You're growing in God's ways, sent to go God's way. But why Jesus baptized? I mean, it's honestly a common question. A solid question born of how stunning this is. After all, baptism holds deep significance about sins forgiven, a new life. But Jesus had not sinned. Hebrews 4:15 says this of Jesus, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." The writer of Hebrews is spotlighting Jesus as superior to anyone, anything, any system of religion or source of spirituality whatsoever. He's superior. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews is showing us what he's currently up to, his current ministry as our high priest in heaven. It's precious and it's powerful on our behalf, but he says he's not a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This starts to get after it. Righteousness. This actually correlates with what Jesus himself said in Matthew 3, 14 and 15, when John questioned and protested when Jesus came to be baptized. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. To fulfill all righteousness. What's that mean? Well, there's this very real sense in which all that Jesus did across his lifetime was fulfillment of righteousness on our behalf. We lacked right standing, right relationship with God the Father because of our sinfulness. We sang about it earlier. Sinners, poor and needy, that's every one of us. We all fell short, out of step, out of place, lacking peace with our holy God. All of the old covenant have been foretelling and pointing toward the holy, righteous one who would come to live the righteous life we could not live, to redeem us because we could not redeem ourselves, to die the atoning death we could not die, and to rise to new life as the leading righteous one, the resurrected one, affecting a resurrection we could not affect for ourselves. The leading righteous one, fulfilling all righteousness. And so all of this would be done for us, including his baptism, his prayers, his miracles, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then his ascension back to the Father. In his baptism, he would identify with us as sinners, even though he had not sinned. In his aim to fulfill all righteousness, he was pointing out how his own life, mighty works, death, burial, resurrection, would accomplish for us what we could not do for ourselves. So just pause and ponder that. For you, for me, what we could not do for ourselves. And is that not stunning? Is that not amazing? That he would love you, that he would love me, that he would love us like that and come into our ordinary world, sinners, poor and needy like we are, to meet us right there and bring us his righteousness. Stunning, amazing. Commentators see a kaleidoscope, colorful kaleidoscope of significance in Jesus' baptism. He was baptized for at least this collection of reasons. Baptized to confess sin on behalf of the people of God. Much like Old Testament leaders, Isaiah and Ezra and Nehemiah confessed collectively for people. To accomplish God's mission and advance God's work in the world. Baptized to inaugurate his public ministry, bringing salvation to all people. Baptized to show support for his cousin John's ministry. Baptized to identify with the humble, penitent people of God. So to identify with us in our humanity and our sinfulness. To give us an example to follow. If it's all about Jesus and we're to live in step with Jesus and live becoming more and more like him, then what an incredible example to follow in baptism. Baptized to accept obedient service to his Father. And to have this kind of launching point of his own earthly ministry saying, okay, yes, I'm on mission with the mission the Father sent me on. I'm sent. I'm sent on this mission and I'm saying yes in obedient service to my Father. How about your own solid response to Jesus' stunning baptism? Ponder it right now. Go ahead. If it's been a long time since you were stunned anew, go ahead. Be stunned. Be amazed. Jesus did this for you, for me, for us. Watch this. Take a look. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It still is. Jesus' baptism points out his humble love, calling ordinary people like us. His baptism shows us his mission to forgive sin, to forgive sinners like us, to set us in right standing with the Father and send us in new directions. Be amazed. Go ahead. Be amazed how Christ Jesus was sent into oh-so-ordinary places, an oh-so-ordinary world, and humbly identified with us, in baptism even. Be amazed and motivated. Go ahead. Be in awe and stirred by such love. Have you prayerfully responded? Consider it. Have you prayerfully responded saying, yes, Jesus, I receive you, your loving forgiveness for me. I want to follow you, your lead, your mission, your dreams, your directions for my life. I want to be sent. I will follow you, Jesus. Have you prayed and said yes like that? If you never have, I urge you, before we're done with the service today, pray like that from the depths of your heart. And when we're all done, we warmly invite you, come to the front. The prayer team will be here at the front, and they'd love to interact with you and find out more about how you've prayed and decided to follow Jesus like that. Prayed and received that grace, that gift, that love for you. Now look at this next stunning moment. Be amazed and be motivated. Mark 1, verse 10. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Just as, or immediately. If you've been reading in Mark, you've likely caught this favorite lingo for gospel writer Mark, man of action, immediately. Again, again and again and again, immediately. As Jesus is rising out of the water, he saw the sky split open and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. Now, what in the world is happening right here in this moment? Well, this is another amazing moment. We've seen Jesus' amazing baptism, and now we see the Spirit's stunning descent. The Spirit's stunning descent on Jesus. Right before this, John the Baptizer said, "The one coming next will baptize other people with the Holy Spirit." Here's the special movement, extraordinary work of God's third person. Across the biblical story, we see God as three unique persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's a scene, an amazing scene, where all three are present. And we can grasp it right here in the story. We can grasp it, well, sort of. But it's also a wondrous mystery. Go ahead and embrace that. The marvelous fellowship of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the nearness, the closeness of God's family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we get included. The Spirit of God typically works in very special ways with new life, new power, gifts, and enabling for special assignments. In this case, the Spirit descended on King Jesus, signifying his special sentence. His sentence on his earthly mission of salvation for humanity. From this point forward, his focus becomes teaching, miracle working, and eventually his sacrificial death, burial, resurrection from the dead, and ascension back to his Father. The Spirit descended on him in this amazing moment like a dove with special empowerment and signifying how he would baptize his followers with the Spirit. Now, I shared last week, if you want a fun way to remember what the Holy Spirit accomplishes, you can remember it like this. The Holy Spirit ribs Jesus' followers. How many of you like ribs? How many of you are motivated to eat some ribs this week? Something special about ribs, right? With Jesus' work on your behalf, his Spirit does amazing work ribbing you. Right here, heart and eyes wide open, go ahead and be stunned and be amazed. He regenerates. The R is he regenerates. When you believe, you place your trust in Christ, his Spirit does the work of renewal. So you're born anew. That's regeneration. You're in God's family, placed in his family. This means you're being remade from old to new, now in Jesus' likeness. That's that regeneration we all need. There's the new you, born anew, born again, righteous now instead of unrighteous. You're regenerated to be righteous in right standing with God. He regenerates. He ribs you. The I means he indwells. He regenerates you, he indwells. He indwells. When you believe and grow in active faith, the Spirit lives in you, bringing comfort, counsel, peace, direction, and holy motivation. You come to know a new presence within you that stirs, and teaches, and guards, and corrects, and guides you. He indwells. He regenerates you. He indwells you, and he baptizes you. When you believe and you put your confidence in Christ Jesus, the Spirit consumes you and saturates you. You might think of it like a great marinade. We're in grilling season. And that's a glorious thing, right? How many of you like to grill? I must confess, my wife grills in our family. I help her, I do dishes, I bring stuff out to the grill. She is the grill master. And what she does really great prior to grilling, usually by a block of hours or maybe even a couple days, is marinates the meat. And what happens? That old big slab of meat, whatever it is, big chunk of chicken breast or a big piece of beef, what happens? It gets baptized. And what's the deal with marinade? Well, you let it soak, right? And what? It changes. Oh, boy. Then the flavor and the aroma that comes out after you grill. Some of you are like, wow, I'm going home to grill now. Wow. Marinade is so good. And the Spirit of Christ marinates us. When soaked right, when you soak your heart, and your mind, and your life, and your dreams, and your aspirations, and your goals, and your heartbeat, and your choices daily, your actions, when they're marinated in Jesus' life example, and heart, and teachings, and passion, then the flavor and the aroma of your life becomes amazing, unique, so stunningly different. The Spirit of Christ can then produce new results. The Apostle Paul calls it fruit. Exceptional character outcomes in you, plus his special gifts in you for influencing others. You're sent into the world with his power to impact others. See, the point of baptism in the Holy Spirit, the end game is not all about you. The end game is really how your life is changed and being changed, and then you influence others with the gospel. And the Holy Spirit seals you. He regenerates, he indwells, he baptizes, and he seals you. When you believe and actively follow him with growing trust, the Spirit assures you of his loving, faithful work. His love won't let you go, won't let you down, won't quit, won't stop. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says, and you also were included in Christ. Now there's something to marinate in. We can all too readily feel despondent and down and behind the eight ball and our failures and our faults and our foibles and our own sinfulness, and we can feel so behind in all of that. But soak this in, marinate in this baptism. You also were included in Christ. Let that encourage your soul today. You're included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Pause right now. And go ahead and reflect. And respond. Go ahead. Pause. Reflect. Be in awe. Stunning. This work of God that you could not do for yourself. I could not bring this assurance into my life. I have way too many moments when I feel, life is too hard. Life is so overwhelming. And it's the Holy Spirit who seals and assures and fortifies and encourages and brings that fresh motivation we need. Choose a response of love. A growing, active faith because of the Holy Spirit's coming upon Jesus so that you could be baptized with the Spirit. So go ahead right now from the depths of your heart and say thanks and resettle yourself in the marinade of the Spirit. Now look at one more stunning moment and we'll be done. One more stunning moment. Verse 11. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Mark's big aim is to help us see Jesus more clearly, specifically as God's son. This moment, right here, we see the Father's stunning affirmation. We've seen Jesus' stunning baptism, and we've seen the Spirit's stunning descent, and now we see the Father's stunning affirmation. Wow, talk about extraordinary. The Father's words actually echo Isaiah 42, verse 1 and following. Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. There's that sentness. He's sending us to all peoples. The Father is letting everyone know the totally unique nature of this one being baptized in this moment, his own son, how much he is loved and how much he is pleased with him. The Father expressed his approval of Jesus and the intensity of his love. Back in Nashville, several years back, here were my stunning moments. Very first morning, a couple college students came into the conference hall and they sat down next to me. There were still a few minutes before the conference was going to kick off. All that anticipation was in the air. We introduced ourselves and I found out that they were Asbury University students from Wilmore, Kentucky. And they were part of the communications program. And as we chatted, I found out a really big deal part of this program was filmmaking. Now, my son Joel, with whom I am constantly well-pleased and love like crazy, my son Joel, at that time, was still a high school student, heavily involved with the communication technology program at his high school and loving it. And he was starting to consider schools and wanting to go somewhere unique with next-level Christian values, but also robust content related to film and story. And that's a unique combo, and one we weren't coming across readily in his school hunt. And now, on that particular morning, here I sat next to some students. And I hadn't heard of this school or of this program. And during a break, I visited Asbury's display upstairs out in the foyer. And one of their lead professors in the program was there for those days. And we ended up having a great chat. And I went to her storytelling seminar that afternoon. And it was fantastic. And I brought back a bunch of info for Joel. And the next spring, we were making a college visit, and a year and a half later, Joel started as a freshman, and this past year, he graduated from a truly amazing experience at Asbury University. And for me, that fall in Nashville, the very ordinary, just having a seat, a random seat at a training conference, turned into something extraordinary regarding future plans. Now, don't miss what Mark's aiming to do. Don't miss what Mark's aiming to do. He's focusing our hearts, our minds, our actions on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So will live sent and anticipating how everyday ordinary moments can turn into extraordinary sentness. We can live sent. I need this focus. You need this focus. We need to see him more clearly. Life can feel ho-hum, discouraging, desperate, confusing, and crisis-filled, or just in the ordinary stuff of daily living, we can lose our sense of wonder. Mark wants us to see Jesus for who he really is, the wondrous Son of God, the one who came to meet us in our ordinary, everyday circumstances. He's Jesus. He's Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee, the young man from seemingly nowhere special, but the one sent from his heavenly Father, baptized by John to identify with us in our mixed up, nowhere special, mundane, sinful, far less than righteous human condition. He was sent for you and for me. Soak in that. Marinate in that right now. Are you trusting him? Are you trusting him with your current conditions and your eternal future? Are you trusting him? Trust him today. And in your week to come, to meet you in the ordinary moments, to fill you with his Spirit, and to send you to do the extraordinary in more and more everyday moments. Let's stand together. Dan and the team are going to come back to lead us in a closing song. Let's stand together. I want to pray for us. And we're going to move out into our week, marinated in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you so much. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you that you meet us in the ordinary and you do the extraordinary. We praise you. We thank you that you meet us as sinners, poor and needy. And you fulfill all righteousness. And we thank you that you place us into right standing. Keep stirring in us a greater faith, bigger yeses to you, greater holy anticipation for who you are and what you want to keep doing in us and through us, Lord Jesus. Amen.